Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hey there. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to the show. Those are listening live. Thank you for being with me. Those of you listening after, thank you for listening. I'm happy to be here, Cynthia Rose. And I just want to mention, if you want to connect with me on the show, there is a Facebook group, Cynthia Rose Medium group, and you can put questions through there. Brendan will be monitoring it, as well as you can call in at 1-202-570-7057. And you can connect with me on Facebook. Same name, Cynthia Rose Medium, is under both Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You can find me all over the place. And I'm happy to talk about this topic today, which there's a joke with it that's coming too. Facets of consciousness. And really, this show will just be a dot, just a micro dot on the vast ocean of consciousness. And the funny joke to me is that consciousness is really beyond words. But as our radio is our vehicle of communication, we are going to do our best with words. And, you know, ask, what does it mean to be conscious? And what are ways we can personally resist consciousness? So, for the purpose of this talk, I'm not talking about drugs that people use to facilitate consciousness, as that is a whole other subject or show. Not my forte, not something I know about. But I do remember reading a book when I was about 16 years old about how substance abuse, or certain substances could give spiritual experiences that might feel incredible. But it actually talked about how the user could not always keep these experiences as part of their knowing or their consciousness because some of them were unconscious. I kind of found that interesting, that we may have an experience and say, wow, it was really incredible. I don't really remember what happened, though. I just know it was incredible. There's got to be a consciousness to keep it. I thought that was really interesting. But if you want to check out that, that's another show. Consciousness is an ever-evolving process. And it's not something that I can just say, hey, I'm completely here, because we are always ever unfolding and growing. I think there's a few on the planet that are at a very special place with that. But I don't by any means try and put someone above or below someone, because I think we're all on the path that we need to be. That being said, I think that joy is our true natural state of being. And that being said, many of us don't spend 24 hours a day in this state of mind. And in our desire to be in a higher state, or what we think of as higher, we can almost trap ourselves with expectations to be somewhere else than where we are. You know, first things first, where are you at this time? Scan your emotions, scan your thoughts. If there is stress or worry, then it can manifest consciously or unconsciously. And we can work at being conscious and still have unconscious habits. You know, I wonder how many of us eat consciously all the time. I know I have been known to chow down on a bag of chips or eat a meal where I disappear into that food and everything seems to stop. It's quite easy to do. Every bite you take, every thought you make can disappear, or it's different. It's really something to take a bite and stay consciously aware of everything in that moment, or every sip or every drink. Yeah, that can be a challenge too, chugging down a drink. You know, eating, drinking, sweet, salty snacks, they can be ways of actually tuning out. TV or movies can be ways of tuning out. I also believe they can be vehicles to tune in. You can tune out or tune in. It's your choice. And I wonder, what are the ways that you tune out and what helps you stay tuned in? Well, nature, tuning in or tuning out. And what do I mean by tuning in or tuning out? Well, we can forget or ignore all that is dogging our minds out in nature or a hike or a drive, and then come home and all that was in the back of our mind is still there. Or can we just allow the awareness of something that maybe doesn't feel so comfortable to be there without blocking it, to be aware that it's there, but realize that that is just something else that's there, because we are so multidimensional and we are so many things at once. Our minds want to narrow it down. And when it becomes too much, you know, as an old friend of mine used to say, people want to fog out. I'm not having any judgment about that here. I'm just saying. And emotions can also get caught into this. You know, at this time, with all the planetary aspects and retrogrades and unique aspects that are happening that don't always happen, you can have a filter of what is acceptable to feel and what is not. And we can become addicted to feeling certain feelings. You know, tears release endorphins just as joy and exercise do. So, and at this time, there could be a restlessness in you. If you're uncomfortable or noticing a discontent, a frustration, a boredom, you know, you may be coming up against a need for change or a soul desire for growth. Time to allow yourself some room for growth. So don't push these feelings away, just allow them to be. Because feelings are like waves on the ocean. They come and they go. And they're really fine as long as we don't start having a judgment about that feeling. And just let those feelings come and let them go. Because you are actually not those feelings. The real you is the witness of these feelings, but not the feelings. And this is part of an awareness in helping us to build our consciousness, that we can witness what's going on instead of burying it. So important right now. Because for every part of us that wishes to move forward and grow, there's also a part of us that I'll call resistance. It's a different sister. It's resistance. You know, the body-mind resists change. And even good change can be resist. We know we have a move coming up We know we have a promotion coming up. We have a trip. Any of these things can actually create resistance with the body. Because the body mind doesn't really understand the way spirit moves. Because spirit makes change instantly and effortlessly. And I love when people come back to me and they lived on this earth and walked this earth and they share their experiences of that difference. And it just, I just find it fascinating and interesting, and it makes a lot of sense what the spirit world has shared with me. On top of that, we may have a patterning or a belief that says change is uncomfortable or full of effort, a whole variety of thinking patterns. And the essence of these patterns can elicit a fear. And we can get caught if we believe that we are that fear and identify ourselves as the fear. And we are not fear. We are love, and we are spirit. You know, and it makes me laugh because also on this earth plane, we can't really separate mind, body, and spirit. But we do, even as I use three words, it creates a separation. So I believe that as a collective, we're trying to move towards a greater purpose, greater awareness of oneness. And there's a huge resistance towards oneness, which it just is. We have a lot invested in separateness. And that's just something that wherever you are is wherever you are. And what do I mean by oneness or not oneness, separateness, is that we are all a collective energy. I just have so many experiences that have shown this to me again and again and again. But here we see things as isolated incidents. If you see things as happening isolated with no connection to anything else, then that's the way you will see them. And if that is your belief, that's where it is. And I'm just suggesting that we can also be open to exploring a different way of seeing things that may help us to get past some of the resistance that we have. And, you know, duality is, there's a lot invested in duality. Good versus evil is a duality. I don't personally believe in a devil. You are welcome to believe whatever you believe. I'm just saying from my perspective, yeah, there are behaviors that seem very dark and are, we obviously we wouldn't want any of that. And there are behaviors that we see as acceptable. It's really hard to see how that all connects unless you're in a place where you can. So it's not something I feel like I can actually put into words, because I think everyone has to come to an understanding of that on their own. You know, investments in separateness, we can feel that what we do makes us special. And if we think we're special, then we are creating a sense of separation in our minds. We are separate from someone else. We're different from someone else. That is a feeling of separateness. And I'm saying it's time to look at what is under that. Why the need to feel special? You know, any profession can have this. Especially light workers and readers. We're not more special than anyone else. We provide a service and awareness. And if I think there's anything more special with me, with anyone else, we've really kind of lost the meaning of it all. Because anything I can do, you can do. It just really depends on where our passion is, where our commitment is. and what we want to do. Some of us come in knowing what we want to do, and some of us aren't sure. But I believe that when it comes down to it, some of us may have written a script about what we want to do, and some of us decided to have a bit of an open slate. And I can remember I've had conversations more than once with someone saying, oh, you're so lucky. You know what your passion is and you know what you love to do. And I'd like to offer that having that sense is actually less of a freedom to choose because we already know. So it's really, again, it's apples and oranges. It's like, I know I'm going to do this. I know I want to do this. Okay. But what if I wanted to have a life where I just explored doing different things and not be tied into, oh, remember, I want to do this. You know, I'm sure that Mozart came into this world and there was a path for him. It was music. And I wonder if he were to come back, if he wouldn't say, I'm not sure I want to do that this time. Let me try something different. Let me wander around and try things. Nothing is more meaningful than experiencing. We're here to experience. We do have a purpose. A fundamental purpose is to love one another. And when we find a way to live a life that encourages our loving presence, then our loving presence, our spirits soar. And I believe that we need to feel connected to others because we're here, but it goes so much deeper than that. And we can move our consciousness into an awareness of our own loving presence. So let's talk about that. And I've got a couple of stories. Go grab a glass of water and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Looking forward to talking with you.
Your Conscious Lifestyle on Steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. So I was talking about, as we went to break, that I believe we need to feel connected to others, to more than just others. I think it goes deeper than that. And when we can move our consciousness into an awareness of our own loving presence, then we can create a deeper awareness which I believe is a remembering for us when we reach that. And I've talked before about a special place to me, which is Hawaii. And it's always amazing experiences for me there. It's a very deeply spiritual place for me. A few years ago, I had a wonderful heart-to-heart connection with a native Hawaiian. And it was one of those things where I just felt pulled to go over and talk to him. And so I did. And we talked a little about some of the Hawaiian spiritual beliefs. And I won't talk about that here, as it's not my culture in this life. And I'd rather have a Hawaiian to share that, a native Hawaiian to share that information. But I was telling him about the incredible spiritual experiences I was having on the island. That I was feeling very, it seemed like everywhere I went, spirits were talking to me. Everywhere I went, people were welcoming me. People were asking us to move there. I mean, it was just so welcoming. And then I was told that, you know, Mother Kauai either welcomes you or spits you out. And every time I am there, I feel so welcome. And we talked a little about the conflict between some native Hawaiians and others, because I asked him, and there was, you know, a sign I had seen. I think it was like Hawley's Lie. And I was asking a little bit about that. You know, it's a sad but true fact that the U.S. invaded and took over Hawaii, and I'm not going to get into that. It's true of many places and many cultures, and the need for power and domination is not the subject of this show, so I'm going to stay on where I'm going with this. So he talked about how, yep, some of the anger is still there, and how he had personally moved past that. To live in the Hawaiian values of love and forgiveness, and how his life was transformed. He wasn't negating any of what his brothers and sisters had gone through or where they were. He was very, very kind in the way that he said he couldn't stay in the anger of it. It didn't serve him. And he spoke about living in a state of loving awareness and how he had been connecting with others and had enriched his life beyond measure. And for him, he was talking about how this collective let's be angry about something had really held him back and how he broke free. Now, I have no judgment on this topic. How can I? I haven't lived it. I'm just sharing what he's said to me. But we had a wonderful conversation. I asked him about why the Hawaiians had nose flutes as opposed to mouth flutes. And his answer was very poignant. He said that their ancestors knew that the mouth could lie and the breath could not. Think about that for a moment. Way back, an ancient people knew that the mouth could lie, but the breath could not. The breath, our eternal truth. Our minds can say things when what they say are not eternal truths, but connecting, deeply breathing, can bring a sense of truth. Or a sense of knowing. It's really simple. We make it complicated, but it is really simple. And in this day and age, it's important to remember that all the knowledge in the world is not knowing. Knowledge brings a lot of information for our body mind. And it may be helpful to retrain our patterning, helpful to inspire us or to guide us. But knowing and knowledge are very different. Knowing is something available to all of us if we clear out the clutter and allow our knowing. It really is that simple. You know, in the past years, we've had a lot about the law of attraction. It's very popular. Well, our thoughts are things. It's not new. This wasn't new with that. This is something I know I have been aware of for more than 30 years. But being aware of it and knowledge of it doesn't bring knowing. I really had to live through experiences. And I know our thoughts are things. I know our thoughts form our beliefs. And I know our beliefs form habits. And these become our lives. And just like in that movie Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray is running on autopilot, so can we. And it's always good to just sit, think about, where is your life on autopilot? You know, what, where is that that we can bring more awareness? Because you have a unique way that you're living this life. And it's that easy to have an intent to bring awareness to a certain part of your life. To put expectations around a whole big, I'm going to completely change. And when people say to me, I've woken up and I've got it, I go, okay. I don't know their process, so I take them at their word. But I know that every time I think I have reached some place, I'm just going from there to somewhere else. So that's my perspective now, is that with every step, there's a new path. And sometimes we run quickly, sometimes we go slowly, sometimes we stop, or, you know, if we're swimming, use the metaphor of being on the ocean, sometimes we cling to a rock for a while and contemplate where we want to swim next. And you have to have faith in your own process. But life has to be experienced. We can't really judge another's experience. We have to stay with our own experience and uncover what that means. But finding your process, well, that can be a process. You know, how do you get into the space to really listen? I love it when people share this with me. I love your emails. If you have an active mind, you know, perhaps use your mind predominantly for work, then educating the mind can be helpful in supporting your own evolvement. Because it is an experience being there, getting there, being there. I like better. I like that better. You know, I am is a powerful statement to add to any change that you wish to bring in. You know, if you worry about the state of the world or have a lot of fear about safety, then I am safe is a powerful statement to adopt. Because we're not only affected by our own personal experiences, we're also affected by the collective. That's just something we may not always be aware of. I truly believe that we are so much more connected. Have you ever just had somebody's called you and you're thinking of them? I had this experience. It's a little off the topic, but it's about being connected. I was driving over a bridge and I was saying to my husband, who my soulmate, I was saying, where is he? And I called out a state and I said, well, I'm not going there, so you better come here. I've actually had experiences where I've spoken to somebody, their soul, people I've known and people I hadn't met yet, and actually felt them give me an answer, or and then had a experience of talking to them in life that's confirmed it. And at the time when these things happened, I thought, wow, that's weird. I was talking to this person and now I'm seeing them and we're having this conversation. I don't know if that's a time warp or intuiting, you know, precognition, but it's available to all of us. And these only came to me when I was having what I call a clear mind, when my auric field felt clear. And it's always, there's always times we need to clear out the clutter, right? We have to, if we just let it build up, it builds up. We've got to clear it out. So if that's something you're interested in, by the way, you could check out, I have a course starting, I believe it's the end of September. I'll have an online course and an in-person course on energy work. Why not learn to heal yourself and keep your auric field clear? Why not work on that? Allow yourself that, if that's something you're interested in. Or find somebody else, whoever you're comfortable with working with. Because I can't recommend it enough, is that being aware of ourselves more than our bodies is so important, because we are not just these thinking, eating machines, and then things are happening to us. We are part of this dance. So back to your process. So affirming what you want to bring in will often trigger thoughts of the exact opposite or opposing beliefs towards this change. Welcome them, don't block them, because they are letting you know what's you've got going on unconsciously, subconsciously. Because remember, a thought is energy, and our brains are running programs. And isn't it interesting? Our brains are running programs from yesterday, unless we put in a new program. And so we need to be in charge of the programs. We are our own program director, and programs do need updating from time to time. And so if you're not feeling like you are in charge of your own life and what you're creating, maybe write that down, because you can change that into a positive statement. So patience with your process is much more powerful than you think. We can get, you know, in this fast-paced world, we can get very impatient about getting where it is we want to be and forget the process of being. And we can miss a lot when our consciousness goes to sleep and runs its old patterns. And if you feel yourself going into that, you really can snap out of that instantly. You can. Just take a moment and look at something a different way. Try and see it through the eyes of a child, or as if you've never seen it before and you're just shifting something in your program. You know, you could, even if you're stuck inside and you can't get out and you're looking at your internet and you look at a bird or a scene or a flower or anything at all, and imagine that you've never seen it before, and then just stop and realize that you can actually see something a different way. You know, this is something that actors work on. They're activating another part of their brain to say a word 10 different ways, to see an item 10 different ways, to experience it with 10 different emotions. This is part of the world of creating characters. It's writers do it, actors do it, but you can do it. You can actually transform your life by changing the way you see it. And you can completely have a different life from where you are now, or you can enrich your life from where you are now. You know, the interesting thing about animals is they can allow experiences to be transformative. And we can easily block or allow them. And I've seen people share how their animals are different and transformed. And I've also seen people explain away how their pets cannot simply get over the trauma they've been in. And I've also seen animals change depending on the person they're with. So, you know, many years ago, I knew an old dog, and his owner told me how much this dog was a performer, how he would act up for sympathy, like limp when he was fine. Well, I lived with this dog for a while, and I had a dear friend who would come to visit, and every time she would come over, she'd say, "Oh, what a poor dog. He looks so sad." Do you know that he started limping whenever she came over? He would literally be walking across the living room floor, and then she would come to the door, and then he'd walk back across that floor and limp. It was the funniest thing. He really performed for her. Is that interesting? Humans are like that too. We can change our behaviors depending on who we are with, which means we can change our vibrations to fit who we are with as well. We can change our vibrations to fit who we're with. If everything is energy, then we can choose to stay conscious and stay in whatever vibration we are. So we could be with someone and say, "Oh man, that person really brings me down when I'm around them." Well, or do you bring yourself down? Do you allow yourself to go there? Because if that person is in charge of your life and they are changing your vibration, you're just sort of giving them all the power when you say that, saying you're powerless to looking after your own vibration. I mean, it's the law. Everything is energy. So all you got to do is look at our little doggies. Cats are animals that have transformed themselves. Or I'm going to share a story maybe after of someone, I'll think of someone who's transformative, transformed their life. So we'll be back for the last section of the show. And we'll talk to you in a minute.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
All right, I can't believe we're at the third half. It goes so quickly. So we were talking about animals and transformation and how they can mirror things for us. Well, you know, I can look at our latest rescue, who has transformed since she's come to us. She was so terrified of him. It's funny because he's a cat person. Not that he doesn't love dogs, but he's a cat person. And he heard about this dog, and he just felt pulled to go and rescue this dog. And I went, well, okay, if this Mr. Cat Whisperer, as they call him, is feeling like he needs to go rescue this dog, well, okay, then that must be something. His gut was saying this. So we get our little doggie, and she's so terrified of Brendan. We weren't sure what negative experiences she had, but she was very afraid of males. Every time you pick her up, she'd pee, you know, and it'd be like, oh, geez, you know, don't take it personally, dear. But he really felt like, I said, okay, well, you must have something with her you're trying to work out. Do you know the funny thing is, although she came to me and be like, oh, I'm afraid of him. Do you know what? Our little princess, she follows him everywhere. She whines for him. She adores him. And now we can walk down the street. She can have another male pet her, and she thinks nothing of it. She has let go of something. And she's also a little bit of a brat, but, you know, there's that too. She'll flop over on her side and put her head down like, I can't help myself, you know. So if you get up to answer the door and you've got pizza sitting there, it'll be in her mouth if you don't watch it. But our prince, and it's a fitting description of him, he is so well-mannered and asks before jumping on your lap and waits, so mindful. Well, he was overweight, and well, the vet said, okay, he has sleep apnea because he's overweight. And I didn't know what we were going to do, because we kept feeding him only what we're supposed to feed him, and he just kept gaining weight. I didn't know what to do. Well, she came into his life, and she is his personal trainer, and he has lost 4.5 pounds. He's fit as a fiddle. He's happy. He taught her that humans were okay, and she got him moving, and life is good. So we didn't even know that that was what he needed, but it was what he needed, and she needed to do her healing with a male. So first of all, back to what we're saying, one of my little digressing stories, make sure you're patient with yourself in this process. No one's responsible for our happiness. If no one is responsible for our happiness, then we're equally not responsible for creating others' happiness, right? Oh, how much that's programmed into us. Be kind, be friendly, be nice. What does that mean? Well, it means that sometimes, being ourselves, we may come up against something that doesn't fit with others. And it's often the case that as we grow, we don't fit into the box that others have put us in. So if you are outgrowing your box, then be aware, because it's easier to be aware than placing judgments around it. That may be the way an awareness comes to us. This just doesn't feel the same anymore. If your friendships are more like judgment, maybe you just need to expand yourself. Maybe they do. Something's shifting. This can happen personally and collectively. The collective levels can create traps for us when we adopt those should types of behaviors. If we say, well, it should look like this, it should look like that. Life is a beautifully unique experience, and we can lose part of our awareness, our consciousness, when we color by numbers. Let love be the only color, I say. But instead of judgment, let us be aware of when that judgment comes in, that maybe we need to shift something else, maybe we need to let go of something. That is so very important, to keep moving into consciousness. And as we are just that drop of water on that vast ocean of consciousness, we are part of the ocean of consciousness. So it makes sense that we can collectively adopt beliefs. And it makes sense that sometimes we need to shift the picture. I don't know what you grew up with, but I grew up with sort of a set, like, this is what the world is like, and this is how we should be, and we have very strict ethics and very strict morals. And I'm not saying that any of that was wrong. I'm grateful for the lessons that I had. But has also made me aware that rather than any of these being shoulds, it's from a place of freedom that I choose to do something. I don't do things because I should do them. I do them because I want to do them. So let our awareness be our guide and love be our color. That's my motto. You know, what colors your world? If you think about what bothers you, it will always come down to a judgment in our mind about something. And, you know, I could choose to be upset every minute of the day about things. But I would ask myself, am I doing anything about this? Or am I just reinforcing unhappy thoughts? We can easily choose events or things outside of ourselves and blame our unhappiness in regards to that outside influence outside of ourselves. And that's partially because this collective consciousness or the pain body that Eckhart Tolle talks about. You know, if you're a healer, if you're sending healing thoughts, are you sending the worry and concern over someone back to them? Or can you send back to them a healing, loving energy? And I think it's easy to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, but you know, we just end up with sore shoulders. I know, I've done it. So if you have an idea to bring change, then do it. Or send the energy of healing, but don't send the same stuff back. You know, in New Thought, Ernest Holmes, the founder of New Thought, talked about not denying that a person was ill, but seeing them in their brilliant self as well. This is so incredibly powerful. Thoughts are things, thoughts are energy. Nothing has ever been created without a thought first. That is just so important. Because if we worry about people and we carry this, oh, you know, I'm concerned about them, that's the energy we're putting out to them because thoughts are things. So, you know, I have a friend that's ill. I think of them as well. I see them healed and well. Doesn't mean I don't have the compassion and caring of what they're going through. But I do my best to energetically see them as well. So I can only in this hour share my experiences and thoughts and presence with you. And it's you that chooses to be wherever you are, right? As I said, if no one can bring us happiness, then what can? Awareness. Facets of our consciousness can. So here's some other thoughts as we come to the last section here. You know, if you're angry, can you ask yourself what you're really afraid of? Because under that anger is fear. Are you feeling disempowered? Are you feeling unsafe? You know, if you need to do something about it, then doing something about it is important. But I'm talking here from the mental perspective. You know, maybe you need to adopt a new belief system than where you have, because you now have that belief of being unsafe. Are you caught in something that something shouldn't be the way it is? And if you're stuck on that, then that is a form of resistance or denial to move forward, because saying something shouldn't be some way doesn't change the fact that it is. So first things first, accept what is. Accept who you are and where you are. You're not stuck there because you're in charge. You can change it. If you don't feel in charge, that's the first part, is to realize that you are. and to take responsibility for my life is where it is because of the choices I've made or what's happened. This can be a difficult thing to do. And I know from experience, when I was injured, somebody else hit me and I was injured. So I had to say, okay, why would I choose that? Well, don't get stuck in that game because that's really not going to help you. Really, what I had to say was, how can I move forward from here? Accepting what is what I needed to do. But I know you can move past where you are. Unless you want to defend that you're stuck where you are, well, one of my favorite sayings is, argue your limitations and they're yours. That is from Illusions by Richard Bach. It is a beautiful little book. If you haven't read it, I highly suggest it. It's a great little book. What if there is, I'm not blank. I'm not something enough. I'm not pretty, handsome, talented, smart, rich, deep, knowledgeable, strong, whatever. All the way from superficial to deepest of meanings. I'm not something enough. If you write those down and any of those feel that way to you, maybe it's time to rewrite that story. And I encourage you to ponder, what if I were enough? What if I were smart enough? What would I do? And I know all this because I've worked through many of it. So I'm not talking that I've read this in a book. I've worked through a lot of stuff. So be prepared that if you have a story such as, well, if I was, I would do this, but I'm not. You can also catch ourselves in a fantasy world that is also a form of resistance. Well, if I had won the lottery, I would do this. Maybe you don't really want to do it. If you really want to do it, what's holding you back? Pretend you've won the lottery. What would you do now? It's a great way to think about what's really going on, because we can have little mental stories that are the mind-body resisting moving forward. Here's one I know well. I don't have enough time. I'd like to. Well, you do. I do have enough time. Maybe it's a choice of, what do I really want to do? What story is there that we need to maybe be honest and adopt? I have enough time. So if you're having a hard time getting to the core issues, don't know what it is, then choosing some outside help for support is a helpful thing to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, how about if you don't feel lovable, I am lovable. I give you that. I am lovable. Look in the mirror and say that. That's a great place to start. Being aware that things can come up that are going to trigger an opposite belief. You got to stay with it. In our search for meaning, we can often be identifying with what the collective is saying about something. We do this all the time. You know, sometimes it's a way we connect with each other. We relate to a comedy or a show, a food, a style. There's times when all of this is okay, and sometimes it just feels like we want more. And if we only search in our minds, we may feel like something's missing. We're looking for the process of being, of awareness. How do you put that into words? Well, you can't really, because it's an experience. Try describing a kohlrabi compared to a strawberry to someone who's never tasted either, and it's pretty hard. You have to taste it. You have to experience. And if you can experience the true presence of yourself, then you knew that all else is dressing, but not the thing itself. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. I'd love to hear from you. My website is CynthiaRoseMedium.com, and I am on Facebook at Cynthia Rose Medium. I'm on YouTube at Cynthia Rose Medium, and Twitter and Instagram. I'd love to help and serve you in any way that I can. I hope you have a good week. I hope you take time for yourself. And if you're busy, find 15 minutes to just think about, jot down, find some way of touching in with what clutter you have to clear out. Because when we get to the simple place of presence, of our own presence, wow, you'll want more of that. And many things fall away because we know, but it's something that's really hard to put into words. So I hope to hear from you. If you're interested in studying, I do have new courses coming in the fall. I do have new events coming up that we're currently working on. I hope to be coming to your area, and I look forward to talking with you. Also, I want to mention that Brendan is going to be at the Body, Mind, Spirit Fair teaching Reiki. He's a wonderful healer, and you can connect with us. There will be many different things at the Denver Fair. And until next week, I hope you have a beautiful week. Breathe. Lots of love. Bye for now.